Okay, please open your Bible to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'll be preaching from verses 53 through to 59. So John chapter 8, verse 53, the word of God there reads, "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. This time I invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father God, we're so thankful for sending your only begotten Son to this world to become a man, to become a human, to be born of the Virgin Mary, to live a perfect life, the life that we could not live, and to die a sacrificial death. We're so thankful for the power of his resurrection. We're so thankful that he is God-man forevermore, interceding on behalf of his children. So thankful for God the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that he's the giver of our spiritual life, our comforter and our teacher. We're so thankful for your inspired words that you have written through the prophets and apostles. We're thankful that they were the word of God to the people that were written to, and that they are the word of God to all generations. Thankful that you have inspired them and preserved them for us, and that they are indeed our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. We're so thankful for your great salvation, Lord God, the way that you have saved each precious soul that you've saved here tonight. We're thankful for the Smithfield Baptist Church, for the way you have saved each individual and you've brought them together as one body. We're thankful for the great work that you have began in each of them, the great work that you have began as one body, and the work that you continue in and through them. Just pray for each precious soul here this evening, Lord God. We pray for any precious soul that has not yet come to faith and repentance. We come to you, Lord God, asking you for salvation because we acknowledge that salvation is from you. We pray tonight, Lord God, if there's anyone that has not yet come to this sacred place, that you would open their heart, that you would bring them to their knees, that you would give them understanding of who they really are and who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. We pray these things for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in John chapter 8, Jesus is publicly teaching in the temple. As he does, he gets interrupted by the unbelieving and hostile Jewish leadership, and he engages with them. If you look with me there on the screen, in John 8:51, Jesus states that if anyone keeps his word, they will never see death. He was obviously talking about spiritual death, but in verse 52, the unbelieving Jewish leadership falsely accuse him of being demon-possessed. I just want us to pick it up at verse 53 and we'll just go verse by verse through to 59. So in responding to Jesus' statement in verse 51, the malicious Jewish leadership ask, they say, "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" They say to him that Abraham and the prophets are all physically dead, and you are trying to tell us that they were not believers? That's what they were saying to him. They're twisting Jesus' words and falsely accusing him. They make him out to have implied that Abraham and the prophets were not believers because they have all physically died. They make him out to be a sinful, self-appointed boaster who's elevating himself above the prophets. Look at me in John 8:53 there on the screen, or in your Bibles even better. They asked the insinuating question, insisting the answer to be that he was self-appointed. Notice what they ask. They ask, who do you make yourself out to be? Who do you think you are, in other words? In verse 54, Jesus answers their insinuating false accusation. Look at me in John 8:54. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. The man Christ Jesus in verse 54, our perfect example, affirms that self-glory, that self-praise, self-promotion, which is independent from his Father, is indeed wrong, but he is very clear that he is not guilty of this false accusation. Jesus does not hold back from stating the fact that it is the Father that honors the Son. And a huge practical lesson that I learned from our perfect example in verse 54 is this. As followers of Jesus Christ, we never honor ourselves. We do not promote ourselves. We do not praise ourselves, and we do not glory in ourselves. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger, not your own lips. Jesus goes on to say in verse 55, he says to them, yet you have not known him. This is towards the hostile Jewish leadership that begin to persecute him. He says, yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. In short, Jesus is saying in verses 54 to 55 that I am not a self-appointed boaster, as you have falsely accused me of, and my honor is not independent of my Father. But he also says I cannot and will not deny the facts being that I do know God and that I do keep his word. Yeah, the huge practical lesson that I learned from our perfect example in verse 54 and 55 is this. Though we do not self-promote, though we do not praise ourselves, and though we do not glory in ourselves, we do not deny the gifts and calling of God in our lives. We use the gifts that God has given us to promote God, to praise God, and to glorify God. You know, to shy away from using the gifts and tools that God has given us under the guise of, I don't want the spotlight, can be, in some cases, a case of backdoor pride. Now, of course, it's not for me or you, for anyone, to make these, you know, judgments of motive and so forth upon anyone. I'm just putting it out there because of the human heart, because of what I see in humans as recorded in the scripture. In the best sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God does want us to do good works, and he does want people to see those good works, but he wants them done in such a way where we're not doing it with a motive to glorify ourselves. We're doing it in a motive to shine his light and to glorify Christ so that people would see us and make no mistake that this must be the grace of God. In the same sermon, he says, take heed in Matthew 6:1, that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. But notice what he says, to be seen by them. So it's not a matter of action, it's a matter of intent. Our intent should be, yes, I want to glorify God with the gifts and calling that he's given me. I want to use the tools that God has given me, but I want to do it in such a way, not so that I can be seen, I want to do it in such a way so that God can be seen and so that God would be glorified. Just to go back to our main passage, Jesus goes on to say something remarkable. He said in John 8:56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Throughout the Old Testament, the promised coming of the Messiah is referred to as the day of the Lord. So when Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day," he is claiming to be the promised Messiah. Jesus is saying that Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The question needs to be asked, how did Abraham see Christ's day? I believe the answer to that is found in Hebrews 11:13. Abraham saw Christ's day with the eye of faith. Look with me in Hebrews 11:13. It says there, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Now notice with me in our main passage how the unbelieving Jews respond. Notice in John 8:57, "Then the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?'" And notice with me the remarkable response of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in John 8:58, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus is saying to them that not only have I seen Abraham, I have existed before him. Jesus is not only claiming to have existed before Abraham, Jesus in John 8:58 is explicitly claiming to be Almighty God. I say that because Jesus uses the same name by which God uses in Exodus chapter 3 verse 14 as was read for us earlier on. But let's read it again. Look at me. Exodus 3:13. "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?'" And then notice in verse 14, "And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" Christ uses this name of God, claiming to be Almighty God. Now, it's fundamentally important to note that the Bible, cover to cover, declares that there is only one true God, eternally existing as three persons. If you look with me there on the diagram, cover to cover, the Bible is clear that the Father is God, the Son is God, and that the Holy Spirit is God. All three persons are united as one true God. The Bible is also clear that the three persons of the one true God are eternally distinct. That is, the Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father. Now we know some object and say, hang on a minute, the Trinity is not comprehensible. My response to that is this: it's arrogant and therefore sinful for a finite human like you and me to insist on fully comprehending the infinite, eternal God. If you and I could fully comprehend God, he would not be God. We're not called to fully comprehend our infinite God, but rather we are called to believe in him according to his own revelation of himself stated in the Word of God. And in John 8:58, Jesus said that he is the great I am. And the great I am that spoke in Exodus also spoke in John 8:58, affirming that Jesus Christ is Almighty God. Notice with me the response of the unbelieving Jews. They clearly understood his claim. Notice in John 8:59, then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them and so passed by. They plainly understood his claim to be God, and it is for this reason why they wanted to kill him. It was also because he broke the Sabbath, but this was one of the main reasons why they wanted to kill him. The Jewish leadership also plainly understood his claim to be God in John 10. Notice what they say there in John 10:33. The Jews answered him saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." They clearly understood his claims to be eternal God. His disciples also understood his claim to be God. In John chapter 20, verse 28, Thomas addressed him as "my Lord and my God." The question is not, do you fully comprehend God? Rather, the question that we need to ask ourselves first and foremost, and ask others as we proclaim the gospel, is this: have you believed in God according to his own revelation of himself? It's fundamentally important to note that unless a person repents and believes in the one true triune God, he cannot be a true child of God. I say that because the Bible declares that it was the Father who eternally planned and who then sent his only begotten Son to this earth for our salvation. And it was the Son of God who came to this earth to purchase our salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection. And the Bible affirms that it is the Holy Spirit who gives us spiritual life. The good news is this: God the Father sent God the Son through God the Holy Spirit to be born of a virgin. And for the first time in history, the eternal Son of God became a man whilst remaining God. He died on the cross and rose again to save sinners. And the risen Lord remains God, man forevermore, and he is the only one who can bring a holy God and a sinful people together. The Word of God declares that anyone who truly repents and truly believes in him is promised eternal life, but the person who rejects is damned. I'm just going to close on one verse in John chapter 8, earlier on in the passage. In John 8:24, Jesus says this. Look with me on the screen there, or look with me in your Bible. "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." At this time, I invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a word of prayer. I just want to give you a few moments of meditation and prayer between you and the Lord, just to respond to the word of God, and just a time of prayer. So I'll just give you a few moments to do that, and then I'll hand it back over to Steve to close our meeting in prayer, and I think we're going to sing also a hymn.
Our God and our Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, that he is our hope, he is the promised Messiah, he is the one in whom all things will be summed up and are summed up. He is our Saviour and he is our Judge. We thank you for him. We thank you for his graciousness and kindness, his tender mercy, the way that he represents you perfectly. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to have faith, to trust him, to hold on to him, to call on him. May he be our counselor and guide through your Holy Spirit. In his name, amen.